What's up, y'all?
All right. So listen, we have a new opportunity so you can be loyal increasingly to the Corner Store Podcast. We have a Patreon account. Tarma, Davian, where can people find us on Patreon?
Patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
And this is a way where you can support us each and every week. There are, you know, very affordable ways to support the Corner Store. It gives you a multitude of options. You could support the snacks, stop Max from coming out of his pocket every week to, you know, feed people in the Corner Store. And you could also be a part of a live studio broadcast if you wish. There's a lot of things in that Patreon account. Tar, where can people find that one more time?
Patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
Y'all, please consider becoming a Patreon, a patron of the Corner Store. Thank you for your support. Hey, y'all. Welcome to another edition of the Corner Store Pod. I am your co-host, Kevin Koval. I am excited because it is summer in the city of Chicago, which is the best time of the year. Really, I mean, the reason why we are here, you know, frankly. There's so much going on in the city. There's so much to see in the city. Get out and go out into the world and get lost in the neighborhoods and go visit so much of what is happening on the ground and in communities and neighborhoods all over the city. It really is the time to explore and meet new folks and just see all the wondrous things that are happening in the city. I want to plug just a few things before I introduce our guests who we have today. I want to remind folks that one of my favorite cultural spaces in the city of Chicago is every Tuesday night at Young Chicago Authors. We run the longest running youth open mic in the city. Youth is for the really folks who are young at heart. And it's just such a powerful space to see and hear what the city really sounds like. And so if you are curious or yourself a creative person who wants an opportunity to get up on the mic and kick a rhyme or sing a song or tell some jokes or read a poem, Tuesday nights at Young Chicago Authors, 1180 North Milwaukee at 6 o'clock. And I'm gonna continue to just plug things that I think are noteworthy and things that I think, you know, the listeners would want to get out and see, in addition to, of course, all of the folks who we bring into the Corner Store. So thank you for listening. And I'm really excited because I don't know a lot about the fellows who are in the building, but we have a duo, a pair of young men who are the founders and the owners and workers at Plant Shop Chicago right here in Albany Park. Gentlemen, welcome to the Corner Store.
Thank you for having us, man. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure. It's two of you, and so as folks are listening and understanding whose voice is who, can you guys introduce yourselves individually as well?
Yeah, my name is Juan. I am, like I said, one of the owners of Plant Shop Chicago, worker, man behind everything.
Okay. All right.
And my name is Ozzy. Another person behind everything.
Cool. Well, fellas, thank you for being here. Before we get too far in, I want to let you know we have some snacks for you straight from the Corner Store.
Yeah.
So we have, and I don't know who likes what here, but we have Mucho Mango Arizona Fruit Juice Cocktail and also the classic green tea with ginseng and honey. So these are for you. You guys could enjoy them now if you wish.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm going to take the mango. Probably had too much caffeine today.
All right. Okay, very good. And then, and again, I guess these are to share or, you know, you guys could arm wrestle for them. We have I've never had this flavor, but the chili limon Doritos. I don't know what those are. I feel like maybe
we
be careful with those. Are they good?
These are pretty, they're pretty good.
All right. These. And then keep it a classic, a jumbo glazed honey bun.
That is classic.
Yeah, so enjoy. You could eat them now or
thank you.
Whatever. But fellas, thank you so much. So let's just talk. What is Plant Shop Chicago?
We're just a little shop up in Albany Park. Probably at the most 100 square feet when the shop is empty without plants. Add a few plants in there, and it gets really much smaller. One or two people in there.
Wait, that is a very tiny place.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. We love it.
Yeah.
1,100 square feet.
Oh, 1,100.
I was going to say, yeah. Damn.
Couple hundred square feet. I think it's about 1,100 square feet.
Yeah, okay. No, we just stand there and say hello to people. People look around thinking the plants are talking. But no, that we're just a small shop. We basically focus on specializing like indoor plants. So, you know, catering to the Chicago natives, you know, people that aren't necessarily homeowners and have massive gardens out in the burbs. But even people that want to bring, anyone that wants to bring plants indoors, basically. So,
okay. And how long has the shop been open?
We opened up last year on March 1st.
Yeah. Okay.
So a little over a year now, for sure.
A year and a half, probably now.
Right. Well, congratulations, because I know to run any business is a feat in itself, much less a plant shop, which I would imagine just the day-to-day maintenance is pretty great.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's something about caring for plants that's very therapeutic, so... you know, it's a strange thing because like you mentioned, running a business can get chaotic and very stressful, but at the same time, that same business kind of just takes care of that, you know? Just there's times where like the back end of the work just gets really stressful, but then all I need is like to schedule myself in the shop one day, you know, and just be in there and then back, good to go, recharge batteries.
Well, and I want to talk about some of the business practices, because one of the things I've noticed is that you guys have been really innovative about engaging the Chicago artistic community and welcoming them into the space, doing some really cool collaborations. But before we get there, I mean, where are you guys from?
Well, I was born in Mexico, uh-huh. But I was raised in Chicago my whole life almost. I came at the age of 4, live in Logan Square, makes sense. So
where in Mexico are you from?
We're from Guerrero, so it's like a very hot place.
I guess you were too young to remember coming.
I have very, very slight memories, like my grandparents' house. My first day of school, I do remember that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. it was not pretty. So
what happened?
I guess I was just very attached to my parents, and they told me that I was crying the whole way there. So it wasn't pretty. And then just like very slight memories, but nothing that I could, you know, go on about very long.
What do your folks do?
My mom does a little bit of I think it's called quality and control with like a printing company. So any company that wants to come in and pretty much print out flyers, she has to approve the samples for whoever's trying to buy them. So she either has to adjust the color and work with the ink and whatnot. So, yeah. And my father works for like a trucking company. It's like a meat distributor, I think. So he just takes care of anything that's coming in or out.
Okay. Does he works on the trucks, or he's kind of in the office doing the logistics and stuff
exactly.
Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, which is really tedious too,
yeah.
I would imagine. And what about you? Where are you from?
I'm from Belize, actually. It's a tiny little country in Central America. I think Chicago's probably bigger than my country.
Yeah, no, I think it is.
We don't have states. We call districts. They're called districts, and I think there's a total of like 5 or 6. So I'm from Cayo. From a tiny little town called Banque Viejo. I moved here in 2001, June 29th, 2001, right before 9/11 then.
Right.
So, yeah. And ever since, I've lived in the north side of Chicago, Belmont, Cragen, then Logan, and now Albany.
Okay. What brought you and your family from Belize?
I was 11 years old, so... they brought me.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, just that like... idea of a better life or of an American dream, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of brings everyone here. So I didn't have much say, you know. I was 11, just barely about to be a teenager, thinking that I was on top of the world, and then you just moved from that, put in a huge city.
And what do they do, your folks?
To be honest, my parents do everything, but at the moment my mom is a nanny and my father's a delivery driver for an interior design company. But if they could do anything.
So both you guys come from, you know, really working class family homes.
Oh, most definitely.
Right. You guys yourselves are, you know, migrants to the country. How do you all meet?
We met at Alternatives, actually.
Yeah.
Out in Uptown?
Yeah, shout out to Alternatives, you know, Connect Force.
Yeah, of course. You guys B-Boys?
Yeah.
We were more of into the artist, the graffiti.
Yeah. Oh, no shit. Okay. Yeah. So you guys still write?
Just when we're
I mean, allegedly.
Drinking,
you know? Allegedly.
Just for fun.
Stickers, yeah.
Out by my walls.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, every once in a while, especially if we're out drinking together, you know.
Yeah.
Just kind of reminisce about being 16.
So of course, Alternas, for those that don't know, a community space for many, many people, and many kinds of people, but certainly drew for a long time in the aughts a... You know, hip hop center. I mean, they had a space for B boys and B girls. They had graffiti,
MCs, everything.
They were doing a lot of stuff. So you guys came there separately, not knowing each other, and met in that space.
Yeah. Basically, I think we had a few homies that like knew each other. But yeah, I don't even really remember like clicking. But that's where we met. I think like the earliest memory I have of Juan is going to Alternatives, and he went to Schur's. I went to Lane Tech, so that was the Addison bus, and we would like, you know, hop on the Addison bus, get off at, you know, take the red line up to Wilson or Lawrence, and I remember him like being on the bus, like I think he had a Walkman.
it was an MP3 player.
Oh yeah, he had one of those little bullet, like the little bullet MP3 player. It's not that far back.
Yeah,
one of those MP3 players, and he was like just on the bus, and I was just like, oh, I remember this guy. And he was one of my other homies that at the time had just gotten down with like our graph crew. So I just that was it.
So you guys were writers in high school?
Yeah, for sure. That's where it started.
Can you say your names, or should we not do that?
I don't mind.
Okay, all right. Names and crews.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I went by Flo. And even till this day, a lot of people still call me that, because after graffiti, I got into a little bit of DJing. So in the streets, known as Flo. And then we both actually started a crew, which was JK.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it actually originated inside of Alternatives, so.
Oh, word.
That's where.
Yeah, well, you guys certainly were up and doing your thing. I mean, I remember seeing JK out, a good amount.
Yeah, we tried.
We tried. We tried to compete.
And what were you writing?
I used to write Wire. I'm actually one of the people that started JK with a few other my homies.
Nice.
But, then we just, I think, started getting arrested, so we started.
Right, making different choices. Yeah, of course.
Trying to clock in some community service hours, so Alternatives kind of helped out in that aspect. That's actually how I ended up there. The very first time I got arrested, I had to...
Oh, you got assigned, or...?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I was... I had to do some hours because I was a minor, and I don't even remember who told me about Alternatives, and so I just popped in there and met, you know, Fact.
Right. Shout out Fact. Yeah, that's the perfect place to go if you're a graffiti writer who has to do community service.
Yeah, I feel like he put on a bunch of people that are doing big things.
Absolutely. Yeah, forever. And he himself is one of my favorite writers in the city.
Oh, for sure.
He's a monster.
I mean, him, CJ, Jezza.
Yeah.
The whole crew up there.
Yeah, indeed. So you guys met in high school. At what point? You guys are writers. You're into hip hop, obviously, the vibrant culture in Chicago. At what point do you start to introduce botany into your shit? Like, how do you guys get interested in plants?
That wasn't for a while. There's like a whole story leading up to that.
Tell it.
Yeah, no. After high school, I went to Columbia. I was doing photography, trying a bunch of different things.
Columbia College?
Yeah.
Did you graduate?
I did not, no.
Yeah.
I was
very few people on the show do.
Yeah. Sure.
That's one of the themes running for the show.
Just, most
of the
creatives you're there, come on and you're here. Like, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of different people here from my, you know, from different from where I came, you know. So
how so?
Just like different lifestyles, different upbringings, you know what I mean? Like I remember like right before making the decision to leave, it was what your teachers and instructors kind of demanded but like expected of you was definitely for that person that like didn't have a job, didn't have to work, you know, kind of had some type of money just sitting you know, but if I didn't, then I wouldn't have, you know, my parents didn't have the opportunity to just give me allowances and stuff like that, so right. not that there's anything wrong with that, you know, just very different. Very, very different. So that was one of the things that kind of just like led me to, you know, just step out. But no, so I did that. I don't even remember at what point I like kind of got into streetwear and wanting to like make things. I mean, I've always kind of wanted to just make things, you know, not necessarily like consider myself an artist, but just like making stuff to see. I mean, that was a big part of graffiti, was just like, you know, putting something out there that someone can kind of like comment on or you know, give their opinion about, whether it's positive or negative. So I started doing a clothing brand. It was Villains.
That's how we met.
How I met you before. Yeah. Over at was it Metro?
Yes. You guys tabled you had a pop-up
shop
at the block party. I still have Villains pieces that I really love. Are you still, you're still doing that?
It's still in the back, you know. It's still there. It's still on the stove.
Because you know,
Brittany. So
shout out Brittany. Yeah, no, you guys, I love what you guys have done.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
for
you.
Real.
But yeah, that was it. I started that, and then one day Flo approached me and was just like, "Yo, like I think I like what you're doing. Like I want to jump on that, you know, and like help you out." And it worked out. Like we started. I started taking it more serious. As soon as, you know, you have a business partner, it's not just you anymore.
Right. What was it about that brand, or what was it about him that you were like, yo, I want to be involved in this?
I was already like buying the t-shirts that he was making. He was hooking me up with
business partner
with some gear, and I always got like a positive feedback, you know. People were always like, yo, that's sick, and I would tell them a little bit about what it was. And I just, you know, he's been my homie for a while, so I was like, yo, I want to support what you do. I want to be able to, you know, make a little bit of extra money, and then be able to wear what I'm creating with you. So I, you know, at first it was him making a lot of the designs, and then I started just involving myself a little more with either like picking out garments or just like, you know, eliminating a design, or whether it was like that, things like that. But yeah, I mean, I guess just being there and just like being a fan of his work already, that I felt like I could bring a little more to what he was already doing.
Sure. And were you in school at this time? Did you go to college?
I did a little bit of like community, but never really fulfilled like anything. I just kind of wanted to figure things out on my own. School is not really for me.
Me neither.
I can't sit in front of, I just need to be doing things at all times, and I just can't sit down for a few hours and like listen to someone, because it's going to go right the other year, you know. So it's kind of hard for me, being completely honest. But yeah.
So you guys started to work together in that capacity.
Yeah, so that was our first business. I mean, it still is our first business. So.
And what year is this?
That was probably like 50. Well, the brand's like 6 years old now, so that was like 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
What year? What's that?
Yeah, 15.
Yeah, 15. Yeah, 15, yeah. Actually, yeah, because right before that, we lived together for 2 years, actually. And I think that like kind of just made us like better friends. But it was funny because like typically
it can go either way.
That's
really
true. That's true. Yeah. There's no in between.
No.
But yeah, then, you know, we like both moved out, and I think it was after that actually that you approached me about Villains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
All right, so you guys were having this business, you guys were holding down other jobs at the time as well.
Yeah, for sure. We were working service industry, anything really.
Yeah. What were some of the jobs y'all have had?
During that time
I was parking cars.
Where at? I've been a valet myself.
Apollo Theater, which is the one on Lincoln and
sure, right on the tracks.
They had the Million Dollar Quartet show for a while.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
It was like Johnny Cash and a few other impersonators.
What was the illest car you drove?
I know it wasn't, you know, the crowd that was going in there wasn't really like
that. No Ferraris.
I think we might have had like
some
a
Cadillacs,
Ferrari
I imagine.
Yeah, we had some really dope Cadillacs for sure. A lot of older models too.
Yeah, well, a lot of older folks went to that show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't nothing too crazy. I feel like the older cars were my favorite.
Did you ever like whip around the block though for like an extra?
Nah, my uncle got me the job, so I try to be cool.
Respectful.
Respectful, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. that, and then I did a little bit of working like festivals, and then a little bit of like bartending too and bar backing.
Okay, where were you bartending?
At Blue Light, and then bar backing started at like Primary Nightclub. It's not open anymore. It's like on State and Division. So I was there for a while, doing a little bit of that, you know, working the nightlife.
Yeah, which is a whole other world for real, especially in that area.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
You a whole different side of the city in a different way, I guess.
Yeah. For sure.
and what were some of the jobs that you
had? I mean, very similar, you know, anywhere from like, you know, dishwasher to busboy to barback, and then bartended. That was the longer period, was bartending, and it funded a lot of like any ideas we had, really.
Right. You were using that to fuel what it is you're passionate about.
That really
about.
Was. Like, I mean, that's how at first, you know, that and selling one of my cars started Villains and then kept it going.
Where were you bartending?
Blue Light.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Shout out to Blue Light. I was there for a minute.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. I was there for a while doing that. But anything else, I mean, before that, worked at a factory, just like Flo did, a couple of factories.
How was that working at factories for you guys?
Man, it was shit.
Yeah, what factories?
I worked at a bubble Packers and like envelopes, stuff like that. So,
what was your job? Were you on the line?
Yeah, I was on the line. So like I was at the end of it, just like kind of counting, you know, and then boxing them, taping them, stacking them on pallets. But it's just like ongoing. You know
that is for real tedious ass work.
Oh man, yeah,
right? Yeah.
And not in like. You know, the good kind of
thing. No.
Yeah, it's just like you can't even like think, man. Like you got to just stay on track, you know, count everything. And
well, you're meant to be a machine.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So, I mean, you would switch off with another person, but no, that was pretty shitty. I mean, not the job itself was shitty, but like the conditions that like everyone's kind of just, you know, expected to work is pretty crappy. But
yeah. And you worked in a factory as well?
Yeah. It was like, it was in Melrose Park, I think. I was there for like a few summers. It was same thing, you know, just shitty conditions. It was like more of a, I don't even know what it's called, but it's like those catalogs that you order stuff from, like little water fountains and stuff like that, or little crap that no one needs.
Like the shit you like find on an airplane or something like that, like in the catalog of an airplane or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was the same thing, just like making sure that, you know, the orders went out. So it was very, very repetitive.
Right.
It was draining.
It was just a shitty job.
It's like sucks the creativity out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Was this the kind of factory that had three shifts, or were you?
Yeah, for sure.
Did you guys ever work the third shift?
Oh, for sure. Well, I don't know if Flo did, but I did. It was like, so I was second shift. So I started at 4 p.m.
And you go to what, 10, 11?
You go to midnight.
Okay. Yeah.
No, 11 actually. You're right. And then whenever like they would, you know, the company was doing really well, I guess, and selling a lot of stuff, then it wasn't even an option to do overtime. It was just like, hey, we're staying till 4 today. And you're just like, can't even make anything up at that time, you know, because it's midnight. Right. Like, you can't be like, I gotta go
to my grandma's.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so you're just like, and it was one of those things where, like, if you didn't, you know, you kind of just started losing shifts and obviously money. To support.
Damn, so you'd pull 12 hours.
Yeah. It would be fine, you know, because I would ride my bike, and that was like on Lake and Cicero area, and I lived like up north, you know.
Oh wow. So you'd ride your bike home at 4 a.m.
I had to like ride in the middle of the street, just like people would try to pull me off my bike.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but sometimes getting out at that time versus midnight was better,
right? Because midnight, more folks are out.
Exactly. Yeah. So now it was cool, and I didn't mind most of the time, but then every once in a while when it was like winter time, you know what I mean? You get out and it's like, oh, yeah, man, after that shift, now I still gotta ride home in the cold.
Damn. So you got, I mean, I part of the reason why I'm even asking about all this, because you guys have, I mean, used these jobs, these working blue collar jobs, to fuel a creative interest lane, space, economy for yourselves. And now, I mean, you guys have other side gigs now?
No.
Right. Okay. Yeah, all right. So I find that fascinating, in part because you guys have also sacrificed a lot to get here. right?
Yeah, for sure.
So get us there. So when does the interest in plants start, or has it? Or have you always been interested in plants? You know, did your family have a lot of, you know, green in the house, or?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you ask that, because like a lot of times when people are interested in plants, it's that, you know, it's like getting to a certain age and you start reminiscing about like your old folks and, you know, start talking about like, oh, I remember my mom used to have this or my dad used to grow this, you know, and then you kind of just like wanting a little bit, you know, you don't live at home anymore. Maybe they're not around anymore. And you kind of just want to, you know, take a little bit of that and like keep them with you, you know, so I think that's why a lot of people get into plants. But I think, for me, at least, that was not the case. I grew up in Belize, so like you have all these plants right outside. Like no right. one, you don't have the luxury of like having houseplants. You know,
no,
like,
it would be redundant. I feel like
there's no time, you know, for that kind of stuff. Like, don't get me wrong, people like grow things like, you know, corn and like anything else that you use. So I was always kind of surrounded by that, and I think what happened with me wasn't like reminiscing about like my parents, you know, but kind of just about like my origins and my childhood, and kind of just like remembering like, oh, I remember seeing this plant, you know what I mean? Like, I remember walking around my grandfather's like ranch and like seeing this or that, or like going fishing and remember seeing this. So I think that's kind of like what did it for me, but it was always there, you know? And for the first years that you move to a big city, like you just ignore all that because it's different, and like, you know, concrete and tall buildings are attractive at that time, you know? But after a while, it's like, this isn't where I'm from. And
yeah, this isn't, this isn't natural. This
yeah.
is not life,
you know? So,
right. This is,
I think it's, for me, at least it's a little part of that. And when I used to live with Flo, actually, he's always kind of been into plants. And I remember him like bringing to the crib, like, you know, the plants that he got, wherever he got them. And then at some point I'd like find myself like kind of staring at them and, you know, kind of thinking like, oh, maybe I should water this or something like that. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
and then after I moved out, like I lived by myself, and that was when I got my first plant, and you know, that I bought myself and kept it around for a while till it died.
So how did you get involved then?
I mean, I know that I've always been into them, just because my mom told me as a kid, like I would always try germinating like either little watermelon seeds or like beans and stuff like that. You know, putting a napkin in a Ziploc and then just like watching them grow. And yeah, I would get a lot of plants.
You did well in science class, I imagine.
I did. That was one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah.
I went to Brentano right there on Diversey in California. Mm-hmm. I went there from pre-K to eighth grade, and we're like a math and science academy. Not great at math, but but science, yeah. It was always one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, just...
What about it? What about it for you always attracted you to it? I mean, was it just that this thing is growing right before your eyes, or what was it?
Back then, I think so. I mean, that's what it might have been. This was like, I learned how to do it on that Channel 11 Zoom. I used to watch Zoom a lot,
oh,
so
yeah.
I learned there.
PBS and, for real. Yeah. Education yeah. is a mug, right?
Channel 11.
So shout out to Channel 11.
Shout out Channel 11. Even though we're WGN.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. No, it's still good.
Show
still
love
good.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. No. There's no competition.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
Chicago.
That's right.
So yeah, as a kid, yeah, I was into them for sure. And then as I got older, just I noticed that, yeah, I was a little attracted to them too. I would always grow a lot of like peppers too, and so would my dad. My dad always had like either jalapenos, little ghost peppers, or habaneros in the back, some tomatoes, but you know, he would always have peppers for sure.
Yeah.
So I would do that too. But it wasn't until like recently that I kind of stopped doing it. You know, I would keep one or here around the house, but then he got extremely like into it and was like obsessed and
just
started
obsessed.
Collecting like, succulents.
What happened? How did you just one day you woke up and be like, fuck it.
I actually went to my friend Jay's graduation party, and she had like little succulents as party favors and like little shot glasses.
Oh yeah.
And no one was taking them. Everyone was just there like just, I don't know, falling
partying.
Over. Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, so I just started like gathering around, and I'd go and be like, oh, I got another one, and like, you know, ended up with like, I don't know, I think 15 or 20 or something like that. And I was just like, hey, can I take these? And she's like, yes, otherwise I'm throwing them away. So I brought them home, and for whatever reason, something crossed my mind, and I said, okay, what do I need to do for these, you know? Well, like, before it was just like, oh, it's a plant, like, I'm gonna give it water, you know what I mean? Like, for whatever reason,
which is that how I approach, I like, I'm gonna be forthright, cool, I know shit all about plants, so I'm hoping to get educated here, but yeah, because it that is not what it takes.
I don't know, they looked fake, you know, these succulents,
right.
They had weird colors, and so I just did a quick, just good old Google,
right,
what plant is this, and try to figure that out. So then I realized that they needed like special soil, and that was it. That was the first thing. And after that, it was,
but they needed special what?
Soil, like a soil mix.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, something like, for example, succulents being desert plants, they need to be able to drain, well and fast. The soil needs to dry faster than the regular house plant. But that was kind of it. That was what bit me, after that. I mean, I think I've always kind of been
like that.
Did you
keep those 15 alive?
For a little while.
Yeah.
I had one, I did the mistake of just grouping all of them together. So, like, I couldn't cater to all of them. So, I kept a few alive. I mean, they're all dead now. But,
Rest in peace.
Yeah, RIP. Yeah. But now, for a minute, like, I think I've always, anything that's interesting to me, like, I just kind of dive in, you know what I mean, till I reach the bottom of it. And that was kind of like, I mean, same thing with graph. It was like, you know, I was sitting at church behind a dude that was sketching on his black book, and I was like, what is that? And then that was it. Like,
oh, damn, what church? That's an amazing church.
Oh, it was like, one of those like young, like hip churches, you know? And my friend, actually, like my very first friend in high school, was like, oh, you should come to this church. And I was just like, all right, like, why not? I've been going to the same Catholic church my whole life. But that was the only time I went. That was the only thing I took from it that time.
Which
it was a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it changed my entire track of my life.
Yeah.
But no, that was really it. Like, anytime I get interested in something, I just
go in.
Like, yeah, just like obsessively try to educate myself about it. I guess it's just like a little fear of like getting questioned and not knowing.
Yeah.
But no, that was the same thing with plants. After that, I was like, wait, what? Like, they actually need different soil. They're all these things, you know, need different things. And it was it. I was kind of just hooked. And, you know, I go to work, do my work. And then as soon as that was done, I would just hit up plant shops. And
so it became a passion.
Out.
It became a love.
An obsession, like, you know, a healthy obsession.
Right.
But right. Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, especially days that were like stressful at work, I would hit up as many plant shops within those 30 minutes that I had after work. And then the weekends too, any days off, I would just be going to plant shops and kind of just sitting around. I think I've always been like an observant person. So like, I just kind of walk around, but I'm plant shopping, but I'm also like listening to everyone's conversation and seeing how, you know, the plant shop kind of works. And, you know, kind of like that, you know, that, I think growing up, like my mom, she was like, she would bake, like back in Belize, like she didn't have like a steady job, but like she would go at a time to like work out, you know, like in like mountains and explorations and stuff like that. But then on her off time, she would just bake. And then, you know, so everyone in my family just did their own thing. So I think like I've always had that, like, what's normal to me for you to like work for yourself. So I kind of always just keeping an eye out of like, you know, how businesses work and how I can, you know, support myself off of my hobbies. But yeah, it was just being observant at plant shops. And
so when did that myself. The growing love, that burgeoning idea, I guess, or the passion, the obsession, when did you all then get together and we're like, yeah, let's open a plant shop?
Well, I think, well, like you mentioned, I gifted on a plant. I don't even know if he wanted one. It was just like what I was into, and I had two of those already, and I wanted to buy another one. So I was like, all right, you get one. I was like being Oprah and stuff, you know, just like everyone gets a plant, everyone gets a terrarium.
Right.
So,
a what?
Yeah,
everyone gets a what?
Like a terrarium, you know, like those little like ecosystems and glasses and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, damn, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I was obsessed with building those, and that was the creative side of the whole thing, you know what I mean? So I think that like fueled the whole thing more. My business partner is in the clothing brand. We're always kind of just scheming, you know, when we would work late night shifts at the bar, it was a late night bar. So we'd be there till like 4 a.m. So we'd open up like 9 p.m. Right. So from 9 p.m. to 11, no one really comes in. We're just doing, you know, cleaning, moving around. It's just like, yo, what about, you know, what about this? Or what do you think about this? And just random, like the most random ass ideas. Like we talked about opening like taco spots, just like, I don't know, just making stuff that we love and then letting other people have some, you know?
But with that entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And then just one day, I think I was just like, yo, I was in this shop and man, like there was a line and people were just ringing up and I was like, there's a thing. Like people are just right now hunting and shopping for plants. And he's just, I don't even remember what he said.
Yeah,
what did you think about this idea?
I think I was like, let's open up a shop.
You're just a really good ass friend, really, right?
I believe in my friends, right?
I think part of it was just like his responses to like, yeah, man, you know, let's do this. But it wasn't like that serious. And I think one day he was over, like my crib, and we were sitting at my table, and I think I just said, yeah, we should open up a shop, you know. And like two, three weeks later, he was like, yo, were you serious? and that was it. We just started scheming and thinking of all these things to do. And then one day, the building that I live in, I actually live right above the shop. And the building or the storefront downstairs just became vacant. And he's like, oh, look, right there. And man, that happened so fast. Yeah. I called my landlord just to be like, hey, how much are you asking for that? And I swear he interviewed me right there, asked me for my business plan. And I think like a couple of weeks later, I got the keys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it happened pretty quickly.
So that must have been a lot, because to go from an idea to keys and a lease and, right, the necessity to then start a business. Yeah. I guess what was and what continues to be the vision of the plant shop?
I feel like we both might have, you know.
Yeah, probably a little different. But
sure, yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, to keep it running, I actually really enjoy being there. And as we were telling you, like, worked very shitty jobs, very long hours for a lot of people. So being able to just kind of stay there, open for years, hopefully, you know, retire one day doing what, working for myself.
Right, because you guys are your bosses, right? You're your own boss now.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
It feels really good.
Yes.
So keeping that, and then, I mean, maybe expanding, you know, always, whether it's like a second location or getting up, you know, being our own suppliers would be ideal. Cutting off the, you know, cutting off the middleman or whatnot. But
right, because I guess where are you getting your plants from? I mean, you're not growing in house yet.
No, we grow a few things in house that are like rare, but you know, very small scale. Like we're able to offer one or two at a time.
Uh-huh.
Most of our plants come from Florida. That's mainly where like a lot of plants are grown. You know, they have beautiful weather basically year round. Canada too, they grow some stuff, but I think our biggest like thing is we're just like nonstop looking for things, you know.
And what do you look for? Because I mean, I my understanding, what I've seen online and whatever, I mean, you guys are, it's not your average plant shop. You know, this is not, you're not walking in and getting you know, geraniums from Home Depot or some
right? I mean, we actually have never had geraniums.
You know, you guys kind of specialize in plants that are, I don't know if the right word is exotic or hard to get. I feel like you guys are, it's like a shoe drop or something like that, you know what I mean? Right, but what is kind of the I guess the aesthetic or of what you're curating inside of the shop?
We just kind of go out of our way to find whatever's like wonky, weird looking, something that like we for sure have never seen at other shops, you know. Don't get me wrong, we do carry like stuff that you can find elsewhere, you know. We just try to make sure it's healthier and like nicer looking or something like that, but we definitely go out of our way to like, you know, even kind of like hunt down like people that are collecting and maybe, you know, don't want a plant anymore, and you know, we'll take something that's kind of been sitting on someone's like greenhouse or at the growers, just like everyone's kind of just ignoring, but it's like, hey, I think if we do this to that might look really cool. And luckily it's working.
Is that part of the interest and excitement for you all, is kind of the you know, maybe the level of difficulty or the singularity of the plant, or you know that it's precious, it's not abundant. I mean, right. That's part of that's part of the interest.
I definitely would say that is our shop shirts are actually like these like camo shirts because we're always in our heads.
Dope,
like,
by the way.
Always kind of thank you. We're always kind of just like plant hunting, you know.
Right.
So yeah, I mean it's crazy. They're like 3 a.m. I was like, yo, look at what I just found. And then you know a few days later, it's in our shop.
Right. And so how do you then also? All right, maybe I'm not the average consumer, but right now I have at my office, I have a few succulents.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm keeping them alive. Me and my girl, we just were gifted a lavender plant.
Yeah.
Also, don't know, no idea what I'm doing. But I think I have a growing desire, especially as I'm like settling and like got a new place now and, you know, I have a desire. I'm like, yo, maybe I should have some living things in my space, right? I've been given that advice before that will help your environment, it'll help your health, it'll help your mood, all of these things. If I don't know shit all about what I'm doing, can I come to Plant Shop Chicago and get put on, get a little bit of an education?
Sure. You're going back to your question about like, you know, what's the goal and like what keeps it going or like what we hope for. That is actually a big part of it. You know, before opening up the shop, we both like sat down and thought about the things we wanted to do and especially the things we didn't want to do, as a shop, you know, compared to like anywhere else we've worked, you know, every single place we took from, it's like, I didn't like how this was done there. So one of the things was, just kind of creating a space where like someone could walk in, one, feel like they're not in Chicago, they're not somewhere near their home. So there was a lot of factors that we thought about of like how we can change that. So, you know, as soon as you walk in through our door, it's an experience more than just like a, you know, a little trip to the store. So that was a big part of it. Another one was like being, you know, kind of having like an education side to it, you know, where like someone can come in and we can talk to them, you know, in a way that like it's easier to understand. And I guess in a way that we would have understood if someone kind of told us. So that is something that I'm proud of, you know, like people walking in there and not knowing exactly what to look for and what to ask or you know, how to ask. That's something I'm very proud of when people come back and they're like, hey, for forever, I couldn't keep anything alive. And here, a year later, here's a photo of this, you know, like that's it. Like, that's why.
That's really cool. So you guys are also kind of, you know, as you are running this business, you know, burgeoning botanists, you're also educators.
Yeah, I guess so.
Which is pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, now you put it that way, it's pretty cool.
You guys have also, I've seen just on the gram, you guys have done some interesting collaborations with Chicago artists. What are some of the projects you've worked on with Chicago creatives?
Oh man, there's been quite a few. I mean, for sure, one of our favorite ones was with JC Rivera.
Yeah, that looked very fly.
Yeah, it was a fun collab just because, you know, you think like street art and like plants, and you're just like, what? You know, like one paints on bricks and the other one's just all natural. Like, well, you know, so I think that kind of just like fueled us to like make sure it works and, you know, kind of just took a little bit of like our streetwear side and, you know, printed out a tee and, you know, kind of took some again from the streetwear scene or like doing drops and, you know, so we did something like that and he painted some planters and we just released it that way. So
yeah.
Those are honestly some of my favorite collabs, just the stuff that's just like, what, why, how. Just you know, one of the things we talked about too before opening was like, hey, let's just take everything we're interested in and just kind of like, you know, shove plants in that area, you know, make it work. So yeah, that's one of you know, my favorite collabs so far that we've done.
That's really cool. And what about for you? What are some of the ones that you're interested in?
That was also one of my favorite ones, but let's see, what else have we done That was very interesting.
I mean, you guys, you said, as you were walking in here, you said you just had a book reading in your store.
So yeah, we had a book signing just a little while ago with Summer Rain from Homestead Brooklyn. So she has this like big Instagram account that's, you know, kind of, she's a big educator in that she does YouTube videos, and she educates people on how to keep plants alive and, you know, how to do it from indoors basically. So she was just over there and she was, you know, doing like a little informal meet and greet and signing people's books.
How did that go?
Awesome. It was awesome to see, like, you know, all these people that like otherwise just know them each other through Instagram, like be there and be like, oh, that's you, you know what I mean, like let's take photos. And it was just a cool vibe, and she's super awesome. She was nice to everyone and just a great host.
Nice. So what is the future? What do you guys have coming up that people should look out for, thinking about the shop?
Definitely, we like doing pop-ups, so we always have a pop-up here or there. We have two this coming weekend. The weekend after that, we're at Box Shops over on Randolph and Halstead. Right now we're in Tom's in Wicker Park. So yeah, just more of that, like kind of, you know, like this Sunday we have a pop-up at Emporium with a awesome list of vendors. But what we're doing there is basically just taking all the plants that we would want at home that we have in the shop, planting them in a way we would, in planters that we would bring home. So kind of just like a curated style of you know, repotted plants. So I think stuff like that, and definitely, you know, reaching out to other big brands and artists that we want to collaborate with. Working with one of our good friends, Isaac. He's putting together, you know, like a bunch of basically just content that we can use to like reach out to bigger brands that we want to collab with.
Nice. Good. And again, remind us where the store is.
Yeah, it's over in Albany Park. It's the address is 4601 North Elston. It's basically on Elston, right in between Montrose and Lawrence, in Albany Park. Yeah.
Okay. And on socials, where can people find you?
Yeah, do follow us at Plant Shop Chicago on Instagram, Facebook. We're not really on Twitter, but
okay,
y'all can still follow us there.
Great. And what are the hours of the store?
So we're open every day. We're there 11 to 7 Monday through Friday, 11 or 10 a.m. to 7 Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 6 Sundays, on top of, you know, doing a bunch of just pop-ups here and there. We do plant swaps as well. The next one coming up is August 4th over at Goose Island.
What's a plant swap?
You know, like when you were younger, or I don't know if like you did it. I didn't do it, but I heard about it. Like Yu-Gi-Oh, having like Yu-Gi-Oh cards or like Pokemon cards, and you just swap.
I
skipped that years whole old. Generation.
But I guess like you trade baseball cards.
Trading baseball cards. Something similar like that, except with plants. So, you know, the three of us, like you bring a plant, he brings a plant, I bring a plant, and maybe I want the one you have and you don't want the one I have, so you ask him to trade and all that, you know.
I see. Okay,
so you bring something, you leave with something different. But the whole goal with that is just like having something more than just, oh, I bought this, you know, like having a little story behind it,
right?
Because that's a really cool part of keeping plants and collecting plants.
So you guys are open 7 days a week. You all don't work 7 days a week, do you?
Sure do.
Yeah, damn. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's the other thing with being the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like Juan mentioned, it's just fun, man. It's just like I love being
you love
there.
It yeah
yeah, you know, I live above the shop, so I
right
I have to kind of just be there. But no, it's fun, and like we're always working. He mentioned earlier, we for so long we've worked really hard for other people, you know, for a paycheck, and I think what's important to us is kind of just working for something way more than that, you know.
Yeah. Do you guys have other employees at this point, or
we
just
do
y'all?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
you do.
Yeah,
wow.
We do. We got an awesome team.
That's great.
Yeah, that's how we're able to be here right now.
Right, no kidding. Yeah. Well, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's very exciting what you guys are doing, and inspirational, you know, and I think, you know, I'm glad I got to hear bits of your stories, because you guys have followed something and dug into it, and this is just, you know, that next iteration of it.
For sure.
In a really profound way. So thank you so much for being
thank
being
you.
In the Corner Store tonight. Thank you all.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We want to thank our super producer, DJ Cashera.
WGN boss man, Todd Manley.
Shout out Ernie the Engineer.
And of course, Max the Snack Tour.
All day. On IG and Twitter, we are...
Cornerstore_pod.
Please, y'all, rate and subscribe on iTunes. Tell someone to listen to The Corner Store. And if you wish, you could also tell us who we should have on The Corner Store.
Yeah, just, you know, slide in our DMs.
They're open.
A great way to support us is through our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod. And you can, you know, support us in our future endeavors and, you know, get some benefits along the way. And
it's like the little change jar, like,
yeah,
you know, in front,
little,
like at the corner
tip jar,
store.
Right?
Yeah, right, yeah. Right, right. Yeah, yeah. If you listen, please support, and we really appreciate your support.
Thanks.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.